Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We have a wonderful broadcast for you today. Before we get started, though, let's go ahead and get into our morning announcements and prayer. Prophetess.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. Once again, welcome to our show, Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We are so excited that you have joined us here this morning. And for those of you who are listening to us in the archives, welcome, welcome, and welcome again. This morning's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. You can find me every Thursday at 7 p.m. for Prophetic Atmosphere, and you can listen to every broadcast that we have live at www.ctkr.org. Please go by and visit our website. Amen. We ask that you would pray about becoming a vision partner, a financial partner, and a prayer partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. If any of you would like information concerning the church, if you would like prayer requests, or if you would like just basically for myself or Apostle McQueen to visit and minister at your church, please, as you're on our website, www.ctkr.org, go to the Contact Us page located at the top of the website. Click there. Follow the instructions, and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. And amen again. We also want to let you know that Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as Women of Prophetic Destiny, we have a Facebook page. Please go to our Facebook page and like us there. Let us hear what God is doing in your life. Also, let us hear how this ministry or this broadcast is blessing your life. You can find us again under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or you can find us under WOPD, also known as Women of Prophetic Destiny. Those are the announcements for this morning, and God bless you, and let us look to prayer, and immediately after prayer, we will get right into the Word of God with none other than Apostle McQueen. Let us pray. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, God, we just thank you and praise you for yet another day that you have made. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for the activity of our limbs. God, we thank you for just having a mind to once again come before you into the house of the Lord one more time for your word, for your presence, for your strength to give your name praise, to give your name glory and honor that is due you. Father, even now, we ask that you would just begin to minister and touch the apostle's head, crown him with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. God, speak to his heart this morning. Allow him to speak forth your words to your people. We, your people, Father, we stand at the gate listening with our ears and our hearts wide open to hear what you have to say unto the church. Father, I pray even now that you would begin to wash us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would wash us in your blood, cleanse our minds, our hearts, our souls, our attitudes, our spirits. Father, help us to stand before you with clean hands and a clean heart this day, giving your name praise, glory, and honor. God, we just bless your holy name for all that you are doing in the lives of your people. Father, even now, we ask that you would touch our listeners, Father. Whatever their needs are right now in Jesus' name, we ask that you would move mightily on their behalf. Show yourself strong in your righteousness. Show your hand strong in their lives, God. Whatever they are asking for, favor, deliverance, healing, signs, wonders, and miracles, Father. You said those that believe, we shall see signs, wonders, and miracles. Father, we believe in your name right now, and we believe in who you are. Now, God, we just thank you, and we praise you. As you prepare this word, we just automatically receive, and we say yes to your will and your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer. We're going into the Word of God. Let me say to those, thank you, to those of you who are going to the website and are seeking, you know, to know more about us and more about the Vision Partners. Mm-hmm. Let me speak to the Vision Partners first. Thank you for joining with us in these kingdom assignments that God has given us. There are churches, schools, orphanages that need our help. They need our support. And they do not have the means, the fiscal means, to do what we can do here in the United States. You know, sometimes it seems so easy to say, you know, why don't you do this or why don't you do that or why don't they just get a job, or if I'm doing this and I'm struggling and I'm making it, how come? Listen, that's you here. When they're over there, you're in a Muslim state or a Muslim country, they do not have the resources that we have. And because they're not Muslim, those resources that do come in a lot of times do not go to them. They go to other Muslims. So you still have Christians there who need your support and need your help in order to do the things that need to be done. So when we come to you, we come asking that you would become a Vision Partner with us. If you want, you can contact us directly, and we can let you know of the our vision and also of the different churches and ministries that we support. These are ministries that we have checked out and that we have gone over to. We have ministered at, amen, and we see the need, amen. It's different than when you have someone who's just coming and saying, listen, there's a need, and we as Christians should supply and do what we can. Well, yes, you're doing, you supply, but you don't know how much of your dollar actually gets to, you know, the cause. And what we do is we make sure that a majority of what you send goes to the cause. Amen. If there's anything that comes out of it, it's more of servicing fees for sending resources like the shipping. And even that can be counted as part of the 100% that goes over. We don't take money from it. We don't receive anything from it. This is not a paid position that we're trying to, you know, qualify our salary. We don't have one. Amen?
Amen.
What we do have is need. Amen. And as we do, then we expect that God will bless and continue to meet our needs. He's done it since we started this, and he's going to continue to do it now. Amen?
Amen.
So when we're asking you to send, we're asking you to support those who are under us. Amen. And those who need your financial support. Amen. Being a Vision Partner with us helps us to see what is needed and helps us to all address that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let's get into this word. We're going into the book of Acts today. We have finished up looking at the book of John and dealing with Jesus and what he's done and his resurrection, and it ain't over. We're moving on because we could spend the whole of the year just talking about what Jesus has done. Amen. But we need to get into the next phase of this, because when Jesus left, he didn't just leave and go. He left and gave us instruction, amen, of what to do, amen. So let's go into Acts, the first chapter, amen. Acts 1. We're going to start in the 4th verse. It says, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise, amen, of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked them, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or season which the Father has put in his own authority. Listen to that now. His own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things while they yet watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand up gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus, who was taken from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. Okay, now let's read two more verses. And when they had entered 13, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, the zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. Okay? Now, let's go back up and just look at this whole passage here. When Jesus left, Jesus did not just depart. He actually gives them, if you will, their graduating commencement speech. You have made it. You are here with me from the beginning when I chose you to now. You are still here. Amen. And since you are here, let me tell you what goes on after graduation. This isn't too far from what happens nowadays. Amen. When we look and we see people dealing with graduating, as many of you know, I am in school again. Amen. And I'm dealing with those who have just graduated this past semester. And whereas I could have pushed and graduated, I decided that it was better to take my time. At my age, I'm not going nowhere, amen? And this is what I do. So, you know, I'm not trying to get the degree so that I could go do some work with that degree. This is part of what I do already. It's just becoming qualified and continue to learn how to do what I do better. Amen? So I'm in school and doing different things that God has given me the grace to do. But I noticed that as they began to get towards graduation, there were a lot more anxieties than there were starting the process. Somehow, when we start, let's just go back. Your first day in school, when you got there, your first day was a little nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because when you got to school, you didn't know how to... Don't worry about that. That's good. When you got to school, it was, you know, who am I and how do I fit in? Whether you're in elementary school, junior high, or college. Let's just go high school because that's familiar to a vast number of you. Your freshman year going in, there were those who came from other junior high schools, huh? Mm-hmm. And those junior high schools may not have been your high school or your junior high. So now you have to learn how to intermingle with others. Mm-hmm. You see that? And as you are intermingling with others, then you have to learn, you know, what your place is. See, at your school, you may have been in the elite, you know, popular crew. And when you get to high school, you were just one of many. Well, of those many, which one is now the most popular? And you find while you're trying to be the most popular among freshmen that there are sophomores and juniors and seniors who trump you all the way. Now you cease looking at yourself as somebody and you're trying to be a part of what they are. You're trying to fit in with the sophomores, and they're not letting you in because you're just a freshman. You know, you have some friends and people that you meet in class who are always ahead of you, seemingly. They always have, you know, that sort of, what's the word, swag that the young people use. You know, it's just there. They're smooth in what they do, and everything is just right. If I could go back to the TV show Happy Days, they were like the Fonz. Come in, something's wrong, boom, hey, and it works. It never fails. They just have that. And here you are, you trying to get things to work, trying to get things to move, trying to get things to come together, and it seems like nothing will touch, no matter how you try it, you just can't get it together. Well, the same thing here with these disciples. They have been with Jesus, and all during the time they were with them, they would get it right sometimes, and then they would miss it terribly sometimes. And Jesus would say, how long will I be with you? Or shall the Son of Man tarry with you long? In other words, I'm teaching you the same thing, and I'm telling you the same thing. And in your own mind, it seems as if you are so much wiser, so much better. You got it together more so than, see, but you don't. You miss it because when the test time comes, you don't have A and B together. You don't have C and D together. You're still trying to figure out how much more of the alphabet there could possibly be to this puzzle. See, the thing is Jesus taught them, knowing where they had to go, knowing what they had to do, he focused on their development. And let me say this right here as I continue on. There are things in your life that you may not think as part of your development. You may attribute it to personality conflicts or personal isms and schisms and idiosyncrasies. But I tell you, if you do not work on maturing and developing those things, you'll find out down the road how important it was. I thank God for Bishop Arvell Garrett, who took time and poured into me certain lessons that I did not understand then. I understand them now. Amen. And many of you in your life, you can look at things that parents and guardians and stepmom and stepdad and godmom and goddaddy and all of them told you way back when, auntie and uncle said, all of them told you way back then, and you looked at them and said, that's just them. And then down the road, you found out that that was the best word you could ever get. It was the wisdom that you needed. There are certain things that I still remember from Bishop Gere. I remember one of his messages that he preached was simply said, if you mix it right, it will work. Now, that doesn't sound like a really deep message, but think about it. I've used the analogy often. You don't want to make a cake and then put the flour in after it come out the oven. Mm-hmm. That ain't going to be a good cake because the recipe called for you to start with the flour, and sometimes the flour has to be sifted. Amen. I know I'm talking about some of you newbies here, amen. Some of you young people, y'all don't understand that back in the day, we got the flour, and there was this little sifter that mom had with the little handle with the little thing inside of it, and when you pulled it, the bottom of it spent so that it could sift the flour and get rid of everything that ain't supposed to be in there, everything that the mill didn't catch. In screening it, you have to make sure that all those clumps are broken up so that you can have the flour that will make the proper cake. Amen? Huh? So even in that, you still have some processing for some of the ingredients. Now, in your mind, you say, I got flour, yeah, but you didn't check that flour. Well, you need eggs, you know, and you sit there and you just crack the egg and throw it in there, leave the shells in. You know, you need so many cups of sugar and everything else, and you just say, oh, that looks about right and everything else. Listen, after all that is said and done, you're going to come out with something.
True.
But it won't be what you thought. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why is because there is a recipe for this to come out that way. Mm. In other words, there is a group of instructions. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? That you have to follow to the T in order to create this as a final result. So a lot of times, people don't want to go through the process of creating what they perceive themselves to be. And they cut the corners over here. So when you get over here, you start eating cake and crunching at the same time because you didn't get the shells out over in the process.
Mm.
You see that? You get over here and you're trying to eat cake and you got something hard in there. And the reason this is because over here, you didn't go through and make sure that the flour was sifted so you could get out all the clumps in it. See, it didn't make any difference to you. To you over here, it seemed like an extra something. They just doing too much, you see. But over here is where that process takes out all of those things that will cause the final product to be flawed. Y'all see it? He didn't preach it quite like that, but that's how I'm preaching it today. Amen? Because when we look at the processing that God takes us through, we see how it's going to affect us in the end. It will be terrible for you to go through schooling and everything else and never develop social skills. So now you have knowledge, but you can't deal with nobody, so you can't run a business because nobody can stand to be around you. You just failed. You see? So the main thing you have to do is while you're getting the knowledge in school is learn how to talk to people. Learn how to interact. Well, I'm just there for my grade. That's right. You are there for your grade. But while you're getting your grade, learn how to talk to somebody. The Bible says if you will have friends, you must first show yourself friendly. Amen? So that means that you can't be over there stuck up because you got the best grades and can't talk to nobody. You think that you're the cutest, so nobody's on your level because you don't want nobody to, okay, guess what? After all is said and done, you'll be pretty and alone. Amen?
Well.
See, you need to learn how to interact. Nothing in this life is you on an island and successful.
That's right.
Amen? We all have to work on ourselves and work on our soul salvation with fear and trembling.
Amen.
Now, Jesus here is dealing with his disciples. They have gone through all the time dealing with them and seeing him. They have learned how to work certain miracles. They have been intricately apart, like Peter walking on the water and feeding of 5,000 and 4,000 plus. You know, they have been part of those miracles. They have been there. They were the ones passing out the bread and the fish while it was multiplying. You see, they were the ones in the ship when he said, peace, be still, and the waters calmed down when the wind ceased.
Yeah.
You see that? They were in the ship with Jesus when it happened. They were close. They knew what was going on. Yet and still, here they are at the end of this journey, so it seems. Jesus here is bringing them, and he's talking to them, and he tells them certain things. And let me show this to you because we need to understand it fully for what it is. Amen. And being assembled together, Acts 1 and 4, mm-hmm. with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen. So now Jesus is telling them, listen, hey, guess what? I breathed upon you in John 20th chapter. I breathed. You received the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But now you need to be baptized. Okay, hold on. I thought being baptized with the Holy Ghost was me speaking in tongues and everything else. But I ain't speak. Do I have the Holy Spirit? My question is, has he breathed upon you?
Mm.
See, while you're trying your best to find a Hebrew Boshah, you're messing up the whole recipe. The recipe shows that, you know, when he breathes upon you, you receive, just like the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to wait for the enduing of power with the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Now, why is this important? It's important because many denomination has been founded upon this thing right here. And for some reason, we drop one to support the other, or we drop the other one to support the one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You see, but we got to have it all, amen,
amen,
so that we understand. Let's do something else while we're here, amen. I want you to see this because this is important for you, amen, as we look here. Amen. First Corinthians 12 and 1. Amen. All right. Reading from the New King James Version, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to those dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activity, but it's the same God who works all in all. Now, let me say something here, even before we progress on. You notice that when he begins to speak, he talks about the fact that they were carried away, you know, following after dumb idols.
Sure.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? When you were Gentiles, not sons and daughters, but when you were Gentiles, you were carried away with these dumb idols and being led wherever they led you. There's a commercial now that comes on TV with the kid who has a bully that pulls him and says, and when I say stop, you stop. When I say go outside, you go outside. When I say, and what it is it drags him out after Pulse the movie and says, when I say pause the movie and drags him out, let's go outside, drags him outside, and then jumps between his fingers, and it's a cigarette. See, you don't understand that some of the things that you like to do are actually like that bully.
Wow.
It carries you and does things to you that causes problems. Amen? And in the long run, you have to understand that this problem can lead to other things. We know that cigarettes lead to cancer and heart problems and other things. Amen? We don't talk about not smoking because the Bible said thou shalt not smoke the Kools or thou shalt not smoke the Newports. We don't smoke because this is the temple of God. And if any man defiles the temple, amen, he shall surely destroy it, and that without remedy. Amen. That's the word. Amen. But the thing is when we begin to legalize or legalistically look at the word, what we find is that it does not speak, thou shalt not smoke the chronic. Amen. Thou shalt not drink hard liquor until, you know, we look at those things and say, oh, well, it didn't say I can't drink Bacardi. You show me that. Can you show me that here? And when you say, no, it ain't in there like that, they're like, well, just turn them up. Okay, well, listen. We don't do certain things because we understand what the effect is on the body. There's many people who have died of alcohol poisoning. There's many people who have problems with their liver because they drank all their life. Why don't we drink as Christians? Because the Bible talks about us not giving ourselves over to strong drink.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
That's why we don't drink. Well, I just, you know, a little something ain't going to hurt nobody. Hey, Well, you know, back in the Bible days, they drank wine. They drank wine because the water was bitter. They did not have processing and filtration and stuff that we know today in order to get clean water so that they could live. The way for them to stay hydrated was to actually drink something. What did they drink? They drank the wine. The wine was not the kind of wine we would drink today.
True.
Amen?
Amen.
Well, think about it. If you was in a skin, huh, and the skin heated up as the sun came up and cooled down after the sun went down, how many times you think you're going to go through that process before you actually get to a nice proof? Because that's how they make liquor today. They take him, put the pot on, and it goes up, and it comes down and drips down, and each time it goes through that process, the proof goes up. Y'all see it? Mm-hmm. So all of that's in that bag, it's increasing the proof. What's the purpose of them doing that? So that they can get drunk? No, so they can stay hydrated. Amen? So when we take it and say, they drank it back then, you just looking for excuse. Uh-huh. Now we gotta drop excuses for bad behavior. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So look at this. Those dumb idols carried you away wherever they led you. We haven't even touched the flesh because, you know, some of y'all have problems when people call you. Conversation today messed you up 2 weeks. You knew you shouldn't have the conversation at all, trying to figure out how to get it out your mind. Well, you know the way to get it out your mind is don't let it get in. Huh? Lord, save my eyes. You shouldn't be looking at stuff that you can't help but see after you close your eyes. You shouldn't have been looking at it. Living vicariously through cable TV and all of that. Network TV, you won't go out there and do all the stuff, but you'll watch everybody doing it and then be trying to flip the channel to see who else getting involved in that. You just want your own feel of it. See, I'm going to be nice because we need to let all that stuff go. Amen. God is not getting any glory out of it. Amen. Now, let's read on and let's continue. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And let me just say something right here on this right here. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You notice that whenever we see someone living alternative lifestyles, rap artists, moguls, otherwise, whenever they win an award, talk about, I just want to give honor to and praise to the Lord who gave me the gift and the ability. Wait a minute, hold on. That's what this is really going to. You can't really call him Christ. You see that? Without having him on the inside. The Holy Spirit is what testifies. You know how we know? Because when the strong man comes in, he gets rid of all of your proclivities to do everything that your old man wanted to do. Amen? So we can't be out doing the fill in the blank and putting that on a recording and then get a reward for it and say the Lord gave us the gift and talent to do that. The devil is a liar. Amen? Huh? No one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. That's what you do when your actions don't line up with your words. You see? All right. 4. There are diversities of gift, and this is really where we want to get into, because I want to show you something critical and crucial here. There are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are different diversities of activity, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Amen? Now, so what he's saying here is that each one of you may have the same gift, but it's going to manifest in a different way. And the way that you apply it, your activity, is going to be different, even though you may have the same office. I learned a long time ago that when the Lord called me as an apostle, I wasn't going to be out here like some of the other apostles. I tried my best to simulate the mold, if you will, but I found out that there were those who actually had a mold of what the apostle was, but it was more after what they saw other people doing. So you have bishops and pastors and apostles and prophets, evangelists and teachers walking around trying to project the image that they think will be more acceptable to those who appear to be the base. You understand? And I found that the more that I tried to assimilate that, the worse it was for me, because I couldn't assimilate that and be true to who he called me to be, because it don't work that way. My look is not like that. Huh? My activity is not like that. Y'all see what I'm saying? I'll go and play just as quick as I'll go and preach and teach. And some people, I still remember there's someone who was a pastor. He's a bishop now. He said, I graduated from playing. I said, you what? He said, graduated from playing. I don't play. I let those young guys do that. Those young people do. I'm like, so the gift that God gave you, you graduated from the gift? How can you graduate from a gift if it was given to you to profit the body as a whole? I just let those others do that. I'm a preacher now. Okay, all right. Well, God didn't tell me to do that. So I'm still playing. I'm still preaching. I'm still teaching, obviously, as you can see right now. Amen? And I continue to do that. But that's what God gave me. Amen? So when he said here that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, that means that we all have different gifts. If you want to learn about the gifting, amen, then you need to go and see Ephesians 4 and 11 and read that down, amen. We talk about fivefold, but there's more than just those five, amen.
True.
Because the bishop is not named there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how they try to change the apostle and the bishop, they have two functions. An apostle is one called with a message, given a certain assignment or certain range of authority that he has to operate within the kingdom of God. Amen? For the body of Christ, we are called to do certain things. You don't see the bishop's name there. because the bishop is one who is appointed to watch over and manage the church. You see? So the bishop is a management position where the apostle is an office. Oh, somebody don't like that right there. Well, we heard that, you know, apostolic succession, that was a Roman Catholic's way of assuming the power of the apostles so that they could then sell pleasantries. How you get purgatory and people paying their way out. You got to understand how that came along. That did not spiritually cancel out the apostle. See? Well, we don't believe, we believe that I don't know what an apostle is. That's because you think that you're fully developed. And each one of us has a job to do within the body. We may go to Ephesians 4 and 7 so you can read it, 4:11 so you can read it for yourself. Or just go ahead and read it yourself so that you can satisfy it in your heart. Huh? Because the Bible said he gave to some apostles, sure, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, huh? For the edifying, huh? For the developing, for the maturing, for the equipping. You see all of those things there? That's what we do in what is called the fivefold. The bishop was one set over the churches. Paul talking to Timothy.
That's right. That's right.
So I'm not a manager. I'm in an office, amen? And even as I am in an office, I have responsibilities to what I do and why I do them, amen? My job is to develop leaders and to help reestablish foundational truth within the body of Christ, amen?
Amen.
So let's see this. Because some of y'all think that y'all got this gift because, you know, you satisfied a couple of things, but it was given to you a certain way. Amen? So all of us have what God gave us, but we need to learn how to operate it as he has designed it for us. Diversity of gift, same spirit, differences of ministry, but the same Lord. You see that? There are diversities of activity, but it's the same God who works all in all. You won't find two pastors who are alike.
True.
You won't find two prophets who prophesy alike. Huh? You see that? Two teachers who teach alike. There may be some things that are similar, but they still have their own style and way of doing it. Amen? But the Spirit, manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirit. Listen to this. To another. Notice it didn't say to all. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the self or the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, listen, as he wills. When I came up, it was if you did not speak in tongues, you did not have the Holy Spirit. You know, if you ain't Hebo-Boshai, then you don't have him. See? And let me just say, there's a lot of people who demonstrate proof that God is with them. The Holy Spirit is indwelling, you see. There's a lot of people who demonstrate that, who miss it because they're missing something that somebody else said should have been there. Y'all understand? So they ain't never Hebo-Boshai, but they can get a prayer through right now. If the Lord's told them to pray for your healing, your headache left, your belly ache left, you got up, amen? Huh?
Amen.
Just as quick, you got up and it wasn't a problem.
True.
Amen?
Very true.
Huh? Oh, that's the breath of the Lord, huh? So when he spoke this here, notice I went from the gifts and the grace to the manifested gifts. I need to make clarity here, because some people say you went to Ephesians 4 and 11, and that's talking about, you know, the gifts. All right, listen. This right here is the manifestation of all of us. You see that?
Amen.
Those are the offices that Christ gave us, Ephesians 4 and 7.
Correct.
You see? Mm-hmm. So he gave gifts to men, and the gifts that he gave us were in those offices. And then when we, as the body of Christ, manifest the gifts of the Spirit, they are here in 1 Corinthians 12. Amen?
Amen.
But the reason I'm making mention of this is this last two right here, or the one before the last. Amen? To another different kinds of tongues, glossia. So what we have here is we have people speaking
mm-hmm.
in an unknown tongue, hebobosha, you know, hebobobobo, you know, whatever it is, that is a tongue. It's another kind of tongue. We have people who have spoken in clean and clear other languages. Amen? That's another lesson for a different time. But you have to understand that the scriptures right here actually speak of the manifestation, amen, of the spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Don't miss it, or don't mess it up, or don't mix it up, amen. Because there's a reason why God gave you what he gave you. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go back over to Acts 1 and 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. At this point, Jesus is still here, but the Holy Spirit had not come down and manifested himself. Amen. You have to understand that the importance of the Holy Spirit coming down and manifesting himself was so that the gifts that we just spoke of, amen, could be empowered to mm-hmm. do what they need to do. See, you have to go back and understand that the disciples that are here, those that were in the room, received the Holy Spirit. You see that? They had already received it. But for everybody else, the other that were part of the 120 that was in the upper room, they had to receive it as well. That's the reason why Peter could stand up and go out and begin to preach, men of Jerusalem, this is not what you suppose. Because he had already experienced it once in the room with Christ, and now as the Spirit fell, he experienced it a second time. And they knew what it was. Huh? This wasn't new to them. This was something that was familiar to them the second time. But now it was given to all of us. What Christ gave to a few as a seed now was manifested as a whole. And those as the 120 who initially received it, all of us now who have the Holy Spirit are recipients of that seed that came out into harvest. You see it? The seven that were in the room got it when Jesus breathed upon them, came a harvest of the 120 who got it in the upper room, and we are the harvest of those who received it there.
Yes.
Look at what he tells them. He said, you have heard from me John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He gave them the assignment. Now, let me just digress just a little bit, because it seems like whenever God is doing something for us, that our flesh always gets involved with it and takes it back to our carnality.
That's very true.
Here Jesus is telling them about the Holy Spirit, sixth verse. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? You see how they went from spiritual glory in the kingdom of God back to what we're doing down here.
That is true.
You see it?
That's true.
Too often, God is trying to take us on to better, higher, greater, and we're constantly trying to get back down to where we want to be important. We want to be important down here. We're the kingdom of Israel. Our glory's coming back. No. Forget those former things. Yeah, I believe that that's the reason why God allowed the former temple to be destroyed. See, they went from a tent to a temple, but the temple was fabulous and glorious and splendid and everything and wonderful. And the people were so caught up with the temple that they were in love with the edifice. They ceased to love God because they were sitting around looking at the glories of the temple. And when the temple fell, when the temple fell, their faith fell. Surely nothing could destroy this glorious, wonderful. Okay, well listen, he got rid of it. That's the reason why they got so upset when he said, destroy this temple in 3 days and I'll raise it up. They said, oh my goodness. He's going to destroy the temple. We've had that happen before. We didn't like it. We got to get rid of him. Listen, just because something challenges your commonality, your mediocrity, your commonplace, don't mean it's the evil against you. Sometimes God is trying to provoke you out of mediocrity. Huh? He's trying to get you to move on to greater things. Jesus is trying to get them to move on to greater things. And they're worried about whether or not Israel is going to become a superpower again. Some first, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. In other words, and this is why I always go back to Galatians, the third chapter, Galatians 4, 1-6, amen. I do believe that Galatians 3 is right at the end, like the 26th to the end, and then until the fourth chapter, amen. The reason why I do that is because the Father has put certain things in his own authority. Like when they was asking which one of us I sit at your left and your right. Wait a minute, hold on. Who cares who's going to be greater? Can you complete your assignment? Listen what Jesus said when they asked him that. He looked at him and said, can you drink of this cup? In other words, you want the greatness, but can you go through the crucifixion? You want the glory, but can you die? You want all that greatness. You want to be perceived like this, but can you stand the process that it takes to get to that? It takes something to go through and manifest greatness. Greatness just doesn't happen. Greatness is a plan that comes together that causes things that have been polished to be put in their proper place. So when they're viewed as a whole, you can't help but look at the craftsmanship of it. It's wonderful, intricately made. It is marvelous. Amen?
Amen.
Look at this. Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power. Takes him right back to what you really should be focused on. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In other words, I know you're trying to ask about Jerusalem, and because you was here with me, whether or not you're going to be the governors and the magistrates and the rest of that, but don't worry about it. You're going to receive power, and your power that you're going to receive is not to get you well. Not for your prosperity. It's not for any of those things. It's for you to be a witness unto me. If we're going to do what God gave us to do, then we have to be willing to do the things that's going to give God glory. Ephesians 1 and 6, that we should be the praise of his glory. Amen? See, all of this that we keep trying to do to make us look so, it's really about us, but it's not about him. And that's going to come back and bite you. When you can't focus on him for trying to make you bigger, let you decrease so that he might increase. Amen? Jesus said this, and then he ascends up. And I'm going to pick this up later. because I'm looking at our time. We're down to about 5 minutes, and I know I can't end it by then. But let me just say this. When Jesus redirected them, what he was doing is he was refocusing them. Let me show you how this worked. In the garden, Adam is created, and God begins to make the different animals and bring them to Adam to see what he would name them. Y'all got to catch a vision of this. He would bring him a dog and say, Adam, what is this? Adam would look at it and say, that's a dog. God said, that's what that is. Make a cow. Bring it to Adam. Adam, what is that? That's a cow. That's what that is. What was God doing? Was he saying, Adam, you're doing so good. Whatever you name that, it's going to be that? No. He was checking Adam's focus. Can you see what I done to call it what I called it when I created it? You see it? And just like here, Jesus talked to them. After he finished speaking to them, he said, you know, you're going to be a witness to me. What about, don't worry about that. That's the Father. He's going to take care of that. But you are going to be endued with power, and you shall be witnesses. The anointing that comes upon you is for you to be a greater witness. Regardless of what people have said, it's not for more money. It's not for people to recognize you and see that you have the wealth of the wicked laid up for the right. Okay, listen, let all that stuff go. If God gives you money, wonderful. Use it for the kingdom. That's why I gave it to you. Amen. Otherwise than that, understand that everything that God has given you and everything that God has done for you is for the development and the growth of the kingdom of God. You are to be a witness unto the world using his name. That's it. Maybe you say, Apostle, I hear you saying this. I don't know him like that. Well, it's not really hard. Romans, the 10th chapter, amen, is really simple. 9:10, if thou wilt confess the Lord with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For it's with the mouth confession is made, it's with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Listen, you have to understand that if you confess it and believe it, it's done. Amen? So simply pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you would lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible-believing church, where they can be matured and developed and go on to do the work that you called them to do. We pray right now for the growth and for the strength in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray for those who may be sick and shut in. We pray for their health. We pray, Lord, that you will raise them up. By your stripes, we are healed. It is our right. It is something that we have that belongs to us, so we claim it in the name of Jesus. Thank you for everything that you've done. We thank you, Lord, for releasing resources now. We pray for our churches and those who are ministry in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ, Lord, that need resources so that they can do the work. I pray, Lord, that you will begin to move and release favor on their behalf so that they can do the work that you called them to do in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll find out more about us. You can become a vision partner with us. We ask that you would sow a seed that would help us to spread the gospel around the world. There's a great need, and we can do more with more resources. Amen? So we're asking you to be a partner with us and help us to spread the gospel in Pakistan, in Kenya, in Uganda, in Nigeria, to do greater work. Amen. It is God's will for us to spread this gospel, and we're asking you to help us to do so. Amen. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Amen. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We look forward to ministering with you on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. and Thursday night with Prophetess Crystal at 7 p.m. as well. Amen. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.